I would like this time and greet everyone.
Tuthanda ngalesikhathi ukubulisa wonke umuntu.
In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Egameni leNkosi yethu Jesu Christu.
It is good to be here again.
Kuhle ukuba lana futhi.
We are continuing with our conference.
Siyaqhubeka neconference yethu.
So today is our last day.
Namhlanje ilanga lethu lokugcina.
So if you are here for the first time,
uma ulana kokuqala,
or you were invited by a friend,
noma umenwe umngani,
we just want to say we welcome you as Grace Baptist Church.
Sithanda ukuthi sikwamukelekile njenge Grace Baptist Church
and as Sovereign Grace Bible Church.
The Sovereign Grace Bible Church.
So we are thankful that you are here with us.
Siyabonga ukuthi ube khona nathi.
So please, when we are done,
ithi masiqeda,
don't rush home.
Ungagijimeli ukuya ekhaya.
So we have food that we have prepared.
Sinokudla lokhu sikulungisile.
So we all gonna fellowship after church.
Sizohlangana sonke maliphela inkonzo.
So let us bow our head and let me pray.
Asikhulekeni.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, O God, that here we are again to listen to your word. It is our prayers that Heavenly Father, may you teach us your word. May you open, Lord, our eyes to see wonderful things from your law. We pray, Heavenly Father, may you rebuke us again. We pray, Heavenly Father, may you draw us closer and closer to you. We ask all of this in the wonderful name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. It has been such an honor and a privilege to behold the glory of Christ. So since Friday, we were beholding the glory of God. We were looking at faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone. We were looking at scripture alone for the glory of God. So our last session we dealt with Christ alone. So we were looking at it from God's standpoint. We have explained that in the past God uses dreams. He uses visions. He uses angels. He uses the form and the method of casting lots. And he was speaking to the people through the donkeys as well. But in these last days, God is speaking to us. In the 21st century, in the modern times, he is using his son. Who is this son? I said he is better than all. He is better than the former way. We have explained that he is the heir of all things. We said he owns all things. He is better than everything. We also explained he is the creator of all things. Whatever that you see and whatever that you don't see, he owns it. He is the creator of all. And then we look at the radiance of the glory of God. We said Christ displays the glory of God. He shows how beautiful and glorious God is. This is the brightness of God. This is what the Old Testament saints call it, the Shekinah glory. So today,
Namhlanje
we are continuing from the fourth reason.
So kubeka ngereason yethu yesine.
Why Christ is better?
Ukuthi yingani uKristu engcono?
Why we must preach Christ alone?
Yingani kufanele sishumayele uKristu kuphela?
Why must we believe in Christ alone?
Yingani kufanele sikholwe kuKristu kuphela?
I want you to notice from your Bible.
Ngifuna ukuthi ubone eBhayibhelini lakho.
Let us read the first four verses.
Asifunde amavesi ama oqala manje.
Long ago
mandulo.
At many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So we are now looking in number four. Or we are looking at the fourth reason. Why Christ is better. So the Bible tells us Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. How does God look like? Many people like to ask that question. How does God look like? Now when you look into the Bible, the Bible says God looked like Christ. Christ is the copy of God. Christ is the profile picture of God. So this word exact in print, if you are looking at it in Greek, it means He is the character of God. Christ shows the character of God. When God created man, He created him in the image of God. But through sin, man falls. And that sin ruins the image of God. Sin twisted the image of God. Only Christ and Him alone. He is the right image of God. He is the exact image of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
But
what does it mean that Christ is the exact image of God?
2
Corinthians
chapter 4,
beginning from verse 4. The Bible says in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
Ukubona abangakholwa uNkulunkulu walelizwe kubakuthukuthekisile ingqondo yabo ukuze kungathi kubo ukukhanya kwevangeli lenkazimulo kaKristu ongumfanekiso kaNkulunkulu.
So as you see in this verse, only Christ is the exact image of God. So that's why we need to behold upon Christ and Him alone. Only when you are beholding upon Christ, you will be transformed to the very same image of God. Many people are reflecting what they are spending time doing. So we need to behold into Christ. We need to look unto Christ. John says, behold the Lamb of God. Look unto Christ. And Him alone. And how do we learn about Christ? We are learning from the Scriptures. That is why we need to keep looking at the Scriptures. The Bible says as we are beholding the Scriptures, we are being transformed. We are being changed to the very same image that we are looking at. The Bible warns us that there are people that we don't need to imitate. But it also tells us that there are people that we need to imitate. There are people that we need to resemble. There are people that we need to look like. And the Bible says we need to look like those who are like Christ. We need to follow those who are following Christ. We need to follow women. We need to follow men who are following Christ. Oh friends, do not follow those who follow the ancestors. They won't help you. You need to follow those who follow Christ, who will show you, who will help you to display, to show the glory, the beauty, the brightness of God and Him alone. Let me ask you this question. If I were to visit you at work, what will people say about you? If I may ask them, who do you look like? If I would give them examples, I'm saying, in the people who are active in TV, who does he look like or she looks like? Which person will they pick? Who will they say you look like? Oh, my friends. I'm hoping they will say you are looking like one person. And it's not that thing in the TV or mobile. You are looking like Christ Jesus. That's the church that we need. That's the young people that we need. That's the pastors that we need. That's the elders that we need. People who are looking like the Lord Jesus Christ. People who are the same like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is saying. That Christ shows us God. That is why many people who don't know Christ, many people who don't believe in Christ, my friend, they're not going to show you God. I can tell you they will show you who they look like. They will only show you the devil. You hear people when they are angry, they'll start telling you, I'm devil himself. They start telling you, don't speak with me like that. They start telling you that this Christianity, I can pack it and deal with you man to man. And when I'm done, I will take it back. Such people, they have been to meet Christ. They are lost. They might be in church. They might sing hymns. They might be passionate about the Bible. They might tell you about all the doctrines. We have some people in this church. When you discuss the doctrines, they want you to discuss Calvin, Zwingli. Even the devil can discuss those things. You just need the brain and read history and then quote all these reformers and quote what have they done. Everyone can do it. You can give them to a lawyer who is not a Christian. He can take you through all of them. The problem of reformation, more especially in the churches of today, Is that just the people are reading? How was Luther like? How was Jonathan Zwingli? He loves the scriptures. He's come to the scriptures. That's what they talk about. But they don't have convictions in their heart. They are not changed in their heart. It's all in the brain. They are not Christians. I told some brothers. That's actually it easy to be a pastor in a Baptist church, in a Reformed church. Do you know what you need? Just study. If you are smart, you can go to school and do Greek and Hebrew. You are a qualified pastor in the Reformed church. Oh my friend, but in other churches, they need you to see the fruit of your repentance. They need to know whether you have an encounter with God. They need to know whether God has changed your life. It's not just about what do you know. It's about do you know Him? There are many people who don't know Christ. They never have a relationship with Christ. No wonder the pastor still needs to run after them. Time and again. Running after them. What is the problem? They have been to have an encounter with this Jesus we are talking about. They are just following. Oh my friend, my question to you is this. Why are you coming to church? Why are you interested in history? Why are you interested in preaching? Have you come to terms with the Jesus we are talking about? Oh my friend, all theology will not change your mind. You need Jesus. You said to Nicodemus, you've been a teacher. You need to be born again. You need to change. You need to be born from above. This is the work of God. It's what is done by God and Him alone. It's only Him who can change you. It's only Him who can turn your life ups and down. Paul is telling us that on the road to Damascus, I met Him. I was striken by the lightning. He said to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? We still have many people in the church who are still persecuting Christians, who are still against Christians, who are still against the word of God, who are still against Christ alone, who are still against the glory of God. And all those people are still in the church. Oh friends, have you ever in your life come to contact with this God we are talking about? Oh my friend, if you haven't, do not deceive yourself. You are not too late. You can cry to Him and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me. Change me. I can see in my heart there's no desire of you. There's no desire of your word. There's no desire of the church. Have mercy on me. Change me. Change my life. That's what we need to see the exact image, the character of God from Christ, and then be able to imitate Him. The fifth reason why Christ is better than everything else. Why Christ is better than anyone else? Notice again where we are reading. The Bible says Christ upholds the universe by the word of His power. Notice in that verse, he is not saying Christ and so and so. He's saying Christ and Him alone. That word Christ is just Him alone. He's holding the universe by the word of His power. So when now you look at the universe, it's not too big for Christ. Christ.
Christ
doesn't need anyone's help. My friend, he doesn't need your help. I hear people saying, God said to me, I need you, my boy. I need you. I hear some pastors coming. God came in a vision in my room. He said, I need you. I need to use you. Oh, my friend, you are probably deceived by the devil. It's only the devil who needs you. The devil really needs workers and he needs you to use you. But my friend, this Christ we are preaching, he doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your education. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your brain. He doesn't need your cars. He doesn't need any of you. Not even a single person in this room. Where Christ will come and beg and say, I've got a mission. I'm in need of you. He does not need you. This Christ is holding the universe. Imagine the whole universe. You know, when you think about the universe and think about Christ, do not think, my friend, that Christ is now tired. Thousands and thousands of years. He's been holding the universe. Now he's tired. He's looking very tired. Oh, my friend is not tired. He's holding it by the word of his mouth. I'm just imagining, drawing from Genesis 1, when he says, let there be light. I believe by that word, universe stand still the way you are. And the universe, friends, doesn't need to be fixed. It doesn't need to take it to a mechanic. Because some parts are no longer working. And it's not working better. And now Christ is going up and down, looking for which are the best mechanic who can try to fix one of the parts of the universe. Because it's having a problem. No! He doesn't need that. Christ is just as universe standard. And he said it once. He's not waking up each and every day. And say, son, make sure you are right to me. He said it once. For the days of your life, you will arise. And that's it. It will be there. And kill him also. Until him also. And say, God, fall. Only him who will say that. But friends, when we think about him, think about his power, think about what he has done, that needs to humble us, to remind us that we are not called to change. We are not called to change. Because we are better. Because we are smart. Because we've already made a name for ourselves. Then now we need Christ to show people that we all have the name for ourselves. Friends, we don't need all of this. Now there's one story I like in the Bible. That is the story of Esther. In chapter 4.
Chapter 4,
verse 13 to 14.
You'll
remember the story. That the Jews were threatened to be killed. And now Mordecai, who is a Jew, he refused to bow down to
Haman,
who wanted to kill the Jews. And now Haman was planning to kill the Jews. And now
Mordecai,
he was just mourning. And he put ashes on himself. And he rolled himself down. And people, they reported to Esther that your uncle Mordecai is rolling in ashes. Is mourning. What is the problem? Ask Esther. And Esther and Mordecai said, Esther, the Jews will be killed. You are the one, or you are the only one who can help the Jews. But I want you to listen to what Mordecai said through the inspiration of God. And he said, Esther, you are the only one who can help the Jews. But I want you to know that if you are not up for the task, God will find help from somewhere else. God is not desperate of your help. If you are not up for the task, if you don't want to serve him, if you don't want to kiss his son, if you don't want to worship this son, you will find help from somewhere else. You will use someone else. But don't think you will be saved. I think sometimes we think like that. You know, the way we think, we think God, he only needs us. You know, we even the way we talk, we want to reform the township. I'm glad we want to do that. I'm glad we want to do that. I'm glad it's our heart. But we shouldn't make a mistake that apart from us, God cannot do it. You mean? He will. He will do his work. That is what he's saying here. He's saying, be careful. That if you are not up to the task, God can use someone else. In serving his church, in serving his church, do not think that if I don't do this, there's no one who will do this. God will still have his people that he will raise to do the task, to do the work. One of our lecturers, he came one day in our class and he said to us, you know, here you've got a qualified man who got doctorates, who can teach these classes. But let me tell you that if this man were in America, in some of the churches, were not even be elders. Because there are other men who are more qualified than them. Then he said, be careful. Don't think you are irreplaceable. God can replace you at any time, because he doesn't need anyone. When we have done it all, when we have served him, when you have worked very hard. I like the illustration Christ gives in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 17, from verse 10. And Christ is saying, he's talking with his disciples, tells them, you must forgive. Forgive each other. 70 times 7. And now the disciples, they are saying, no, increase our faith. This is impossible. We cannot do this. And Christ gives them an illustration. And he's saying to them, which of you, who is having a servant, after that servant, serve him, and coming back home. So he said to the servant, servant, prepare water for me. I need to take a bath. And prepare food for me. I need to eat. And Christ is asking this question. Which of you, who will say to that servant, servant, come and eat with me. Sit with me in the table. And Christ says his name. Then he says, that servant, when he has done his work, he should be happy that I have done what my masters wanted me to do. Our friends, when we have done it all for his glory, we shouldn't go back complaining. We shouldn't say, I have done what my master has called me to do. That's all. We shouldn't go out hoping for praises of men, hoping for being tapped behind your back and saying, well done. No, my friends, we should be saying, we have done what our master said we must do. And we know one day when we go to him, you will say, welcome, good and faithful servant. I've seen some people being discouraged to serve the Lord. Don't say, I serve the Lord for such and such a year. There's no change in my life. This is still the same. What is the point of serving this God? Let me go back to my sin. Oh, my friend, as a servant, you should be able to say, I have done what my master wanted me to do. Let us proceed to reason number six. Why Christ is better? Why must we serve Christ alone? Why must we glorify Christ alone? Why must we worship Christ alone? Now in reason number six, as you read in that verse, Christ is seated down at the right hand of God. I want you to notice some things in that verse. Christ is seated down at the right hand of God. You need to notice he's not standing at the right hand of God. He is seated down. You may ask why. It is because his work is done. There is no high priest in the Old Testament who will sit down in the Holy of Holies as he was bringing sacrifice on behalf of people. All the priests in the Old Testament, we will be standing, sacrificing, year in and year out. But this Christ, he is better than them. He is better than all the priests. The Bible tells us that he is sitting down. His work is complete. His sacrifice is accepted by God. One of the commentators is asking this question, that why did Christ resurrect? You know, you hear people probably where you are staying. Today they were waking up and chanting. You know, people like chanting. They were chanting before became Christians. Now they still want to chant now as they are Christians. So you probably heard them chanting. He's resurrected, he's risen. You probably have heard that. But they never explained why. Why he is risen? They just chanted, he's risen. Excited, he's risen. Why? Why is he risen? Oh, my friends, this commentator says, why is Christ risen? He says that was the proof that God has accepted his sacrifice. That was the proof. Because the priest, when he goes to the Holy of Holies, when he gets there, if he has committed sin, he will die on the spot. He will not go back. The resurrection of Christ, it proves that your sin are paid in full, and God has accepted Christ's sacrifice on your behalf. He has paid for your sin. And God has accepted that sacrifice. That's what we are looking at. That now is sitting down. He's no longer working. He's sitting down. He has already reconciled man with God. He has already reconciled sinners with God. Let me explain this. Only Christ's death is able to wash away your sins. If you are reading in that verse, it says, after making the purification for sins, he sat down. So his work is done. And only his death can wipe away your sins, can set you free from your sins. No church can reconcile you with God. No pastor can reconcile you with God. We can call you and say, come to the front. We can give you a prayer to pray, but we cannot reconcile you with God. Only Christ and Him alone can reconcile you with God. Paul says there's one mediator between man and God.
Mediator.
It's Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator between man and God. It's only Christ Jesus. Our people, they believe that ancestors, since they were on earth, so now they are dead, they are able to be mediators between us and God. Our friends, that is lies from the devil. There's only one mediator between God and man. It's Christ Jesus. And you need to believe in Him and Him alone. So let us rise to the last reason. Why Christ is superior? Why is He better than anything else? Christ is superior even to angels. Christ is superior to angels. Notice in verse 4. Heaven become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Christ is superior to angels. I don't know which church were you in before you became a Christian. You need to understand me. That's what I'm saying. I don't know which church were you in before you became a Christian. Some churches teach that every one of us, we have angels. So your angel, you probably have heard today,
so ingelosi yakho mhlawumbe
is going with you wherever you go. Your angel is protecting you wherever you are. But Christ,
go to Christ,
is superior
unzula
than the angels. No angel is equal to Christ. Now when we talk about angels, the Bible tells us there are two angels. There are bad angels and there are good angels. So people, they don't know the difference. The bad angels, their leader is the devil. And everyone who rebel against God in heaven, and those people are angels, were casted out of heaven, including the devil. And now when we talk about angels, they've got different rankings. Some have more power than others. That is why when you read the Bible, you will see that bad angels, we call those demons, they are able to cast out other demons. That's why people always think, if someone can cast out a demon, that means the person has a relationship with God. The person is a Christian. That is lies from the devil. Even demons, the sons of Sceva, were not Christians, were casting out demons. Even Christ Himself, He was accused. That is casting out demons by Beelzebub. up. They said the prince of demons. So that means there was also the prince of demons.
Beelzebub.
Who's able to cast out demons. So you are not a man of God. You are not used by God. You are not mighty anointed by God. Because you can cast demons. Even Beelzebub. Cast them out. And is the prince of death. So we cannot conclude that this church is casting out demons. Therefore, they are the church of Christ. There might be the church of Beelzebub. The prince of demons. Still casting them out. But the Jesus we are talking about. He is superior. He is great. He is powerful. Than all. He is powerful than Beelzebub. When demons meet him, they cry, why have you come to torment us before time? They know there is a time of torment that is waiting for demons. You hear some unbelievers who are calling themselves Christians. They say, I wonder. But he has they told my friend, he said, you see, these sisters who are not saved. So they try to impress the brothers who are saved. And then they ask you a question. And now they are not Christians, right? They are not saved. They try to impress you that they also know the man. He says, so,
brother,
when will God save Satan?
You know the way
they are thinking. That Satan one day will be saved. No, my friend, he's not. He's on his way to hell. God doesn't have time to play. He created hell for Satan. Now he must tell him what will happen to hell. Now he must go there. God doesn't waste resources. That fire has been burning. He's wasting resources. Yourself, you don't waste electricity. So how can God waste the resources? Who will go there? If Satan is going there, they are bad demons. They are crying out. Have you come to torment us before time?
Our friends,
demons won't repent. Won't say, God, we are sorry, forgive us. Even when Christ says, get out, when Christ came, they were pleading, please send us to the pigs. Now you find many people today who are calling themselves religious.
They
say, I'm not eating a pig. Because the demons went to the... No, you need your systematic theology. Study through the Bible. The Bible didn't say, all demons in the world, all pigs in the world, went to the sea with those demons. So that doesn't mean any pig you meet has a demon. Only those pigs were there. And the demons drive them to the sea. And they died there. Actually, that's what demons are good at. Their main purpose is to deceive people and to help them. When they are going to hell, not to go alone. That's the whole point. Why Satan is running up and down? And you are thinking, I'm enjoying life. You hear people say, when you become a Christian.
But hey, Mama, he called.
Like you are still your time.
I mean, so spiritual
you don't enjoy life. Everything is sin, it's sin. Everything is sin. Everything. I don't like them. I like the devil. With the devil, there's no sin. Do as you wish. And you go together to hell. Good deal. And many people have signed that deal. They are with the devil. And they are saying, we are sitting with you. We
visit
the church once in a while. Dance for the music a bit. Try to silence our conscience. And go back to our sins. And sit there. Oh my friend. There is help that is waiting for all those who are not saved, who are not Christians. But this Jesus we are talking about, he is superior. If you believe in him, if you trust him, if you place your whole weight in him and him alone, he will set you free. That is why we believe. A believer cannot be demon possessed. You cannot. If you are telling us you are a believer, you are demon possessed. You are an unbeliever. I remember we went to Eastern Cape long time ago. So we are doing an outreach. Open air, and we are preaching this. So there's this lady who's been leading the music for us from Monday until Friday.
So Monday to Friday.
She's singing, putting people in the spirit, jumping up and down, and as we are preaching, man, she looked like a good partner. I was still singing there. I was like, wow, this looks like a good part. Man, look, she sings. As we preach, it's like we are in the same team. We do the same thing. Came Sunday, she's now demon possessed. And the pastor is telling me, Pastor, pray for her until she's delivered. I'm not praying.
Come
here. Since when she's been demon possessed? No, she struggled from this time and time. I said, are you trying to tell me the demon has been leading us in worship from Monday? On Sunday, you must try to deliver. I said, no, you've been. This person has been singing for you. No, please, you deliver her. Because she's been singing for from Monday. Then on Sunday we find out she's not a Christian. How can she be demon possessed? It's because she's not a Christian. Why Christian cannot be possessed by demon? It's because of the one we are serving. He is great. He's the one who said, you cannot have two masters. If he is your master, the devil needs to pack his bag and go back somewhere else. When he becomes, the devil relocates. They can't sit together in one place because he's the king. He's the Lord. He created all. He created the devil himself. So the devil cannot sit in his presence. So if he's in you, if you are in him, how can the devil come also and be in you? Christian, in me I've got two spirits, the spirit of God and the spirit of the devil. So when I want to do good, the spirit of the devil draw me to do bad. That's why, Pastor, I'm doing all the bad. Oh, but on Sunday, the spirit of God pushes me, chanting to church, but I'm serving the spirit of the devil. Oh my friend, two masters cannot be in same place at the same time. This Christ is superior.
He's
powerful than the demons. That is why as a Christian I always tell my wife over and over again, God doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber. I resolved that early in my Christian walk. God doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber. I slumber and I sleep. That's it. So at night I sleep. When there's things going up and down on top of my roof, I sleep. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He promises us, I am watching over you. No one will snatch you from my hand. I will not allow your feet to dash against the stone. So why shouldn't I sleep? He created the night so that I'm asleep. So at night, asleep. When the devil tries, demons sent by people. You call them to be bewitched, right? Sent by people. When I wake up, I'm sorry. Let's deal with it in the morning.
So you want to say
good night, Jesus. We'll deal with you. Me, I sleep. I don't have to worry. So you have Christians who are afraid. You know they walk at night and they wake up. I fight in Jesus' name. I fight you, the devil. I fight you, the devil. Fighting him for what? Jesus has created hell for him. So you have been fighting. And the question always been asked, who set him free? If all these churches, Sunday in and Sunday out, let's all bind in the devil. Then they bind him in this church. The neighbor bind him. In America is bound. In Zambia is bound. How is he free again tomorrow? And I will work overtime. That means whatever we are using to bind the devil is not working. If we are binding him in the name of Jesus and he's not bound, we put in the name of Jesus in passion. People begin to question it. Is it really powerful? Why this man can't bind the devil? Oh friends, the name is powerful. The problem is people. They are mistaken. They misunderstand the scriptures. That's what Christ says. You are mistaken. You don't understand the scriptures. Because God said that to the end, he will be bound. He even said he will send an angel to bind him. It's the angel, not you. He's another superior than him. And he knows him. You don't see him.
When I'm born,
he might be at the neighbor's side.
I was going to say next door.
Distracting us.
We are just distracted.
Oh, you might be that other side. We don't know. We don't know, friends. We don't know. You pacify him. He might be not here.
We are both
not far. Just distract you. That's it, what you to believe.
I'm not saying.
That is distracting people. Because the Bible says it's the order of confusion. That's what it does.
But
the angels, they fear everything in the spiritual world. When God says it's time, get the devil to the fire, he's not going to go around and seek him. Where is the devil? He knows him exactly where he is. He knows. So friends, be comforted. Christ is Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of being bewitched. You need to trust this Jesus. You know, some people, we've got some students who are doing grade 12. You know, black people always believe when you go and write that final paper, you need to burn some incense because the devil might distract you. You might faint on that day. You need to know who you are serving. He is greater than them, greater than the demons, greater than the devil himself. So you need to believe in him and to trust him. Let me also say this. to help our African brothers and sisters. You don't always to think that hey, I'm cursed. Things is not happening, I'm cursed. My family is not doing well, I'm cursed. No, you're not cursed. He is great. If you believe in him and him alone, he's greater than all. He's greater than the curses. You know, people say, the family line. If your father was a drunkard, he was a smoker. He was your mother was a prostitute. So you would go through. You will face what he faced. No. That's wrong. That is not the spirit. That makes your father a drunkard. That makes your mother a prostitute. So you are afraid now. I will also go through their path. No, that's not true. It is sin. So, no. They love sin. They were sinning. That is the problem. According to the word of God.
Yes,
so even you, now you cannot say, yeah, Pastor, please, there are curses following me. I'm dreaming of a dark cloud. No black people. There's a dark cloud over me. It's like I'm gonna die. It is appointed for the man to die. Why? So it's appointed to die. So it shouldn't be this cloud. I'm afraid of the cloud. It's appointed for the man to die. Why? And that time would come. So you need to be free. You need to be set free. And in your mind, and in your thinking,
but
you need to know and feed on Christ and him alone and trust him, friends. So friends, we have labored. We have tried to bring before you
that
the word of God
is
the final authority of your life. Not your anchor. I've heard this over and over again in church. When they've got serious issues to discuss, they forget about the church. They start remembering their anchors who are not believers. It's like they've got this spiritual ancestors accompanied power that is infested in them. Can you see Christian go when they are getting married to theirs? They don't start with the pastor. They start with their uncles who are not Christians. Christ and him alone, his word is the final authority of your life.
And
if you believe that, your family won't be happy with you. Because they want you to say Christ plus uncle.
And
immediately you say Christ subtract uncle. They say now you are hating us. You are hating us, our son. How can you speak like this?
We
gave birth to you. Who is this Jew guy that you are saying is Christ? You need to say no. He's not a Jew guy. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the creator of all. He is the owner of all. He's not the Mlungu. He's not a white person. He died for the sins of people. This is the Christ we are talking about. Only through the grace and the grace of him has pulled us from our sins. We were loving our sins. We were committed to our sins. Only through the grace we were brought to him. That is why Lamentation says this mercies are new every morning. Oh, friends, only in faith. Have faith in him. Believe in him. Don't believe to your ancestors. They are dead. Don't believe even to yourself. You hear some call themselves motivational speakers. Then you believe in yourself. You can do it. You can do it. Shout, you can do it. Nothing you can do. The Bible says without him you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And you see here. Hallelujah. And if you can do it,
Lord.
Only have faith in him.
When I
in him and him alone. And faith in what? It's not enough to say I believe in God. Which God? It must be the God of the Africans. Who's connected to ancestors? That is the wrong God. Whose God are you believing in? It might be the God of the Muslims. Who is connected to Muhammad? Who is another prophet that Moses spoke about? That is the wrong God. Who must you believe in? Which God? Have faith in what? It might be the God of the Mammons who tells you Jesus and Satan are brothers. That is not the God of the Bible. Who must you believe in? Maybe the God of Jehovah Witness. That is not a God who said Jesus is just a king. Oh, he's not just a king. Oh, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is God himself who created us all. So that is not a God. Whatever they are preaching, you must be faithful. Carry that first tower book up and down. Hell is still waiting for you. You'll burn with that book in the hell because there's no name under the sun and in heaven that we are giving to believe in. It's only the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. If you are not believing in him, even if you carry that Westower book, you are going to hell with it because you are undermining the true way, the true life, and the true truth of which is Christ Jesus. You have faith in him. You believe in him. Don't also believe the God of the Zionists. The Zionists, they also bring another God to you. You know, God help those who help themselves. That is their God. And they bring a God, you see, carrying sticks. And they make themselves Moses. I don't know why they say they are carrying the weapon of your warfare. No, friends. You don't need that God. You need Jesus Christ. And the glory is for him. And him alone. And when we say we're talking about his glory, it's for him and him alone. He created all. When you see the trees, and if you observe very carefully, the trees are different. He created them like that. It's not like the tall tree and the short tree. God is worried. He looks at them and says it is good. When he's looking at them, then he created people. Some are light in complexion. Some are dark in complexion. Some they are tall. Some they are short. Some they are fat. Some they are skinny. When he looks at them, it is good. He created them. Is this good? He didn't end there. He created another group. Some are rich. Some are poor. And when he looks at them, he says it is good. He is happy. When he looks at them, and you bring him miserable, not sleeping, him is happy. He created the strong. He created the weak. He created the rich. He created the poor. And he's happy. And you want all of them, in spite of their status in life, to believe in him, to trust in him, and him alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, that all has been done by you, that you have created all. Here we are, God, we have seen in many ways. We have seen being discontent by the way you created us. We've been discontent even by where, Lord, you planted us. Lord, we've been despising even the place where we were born in. We've been despising Heavenly Father, even the families where you put us in, when you look all of that, God, you had power to change everything. But Heavenly Father, it is all, Heavenly God, for your glory. We pray that you forgive us where we complain about many things, where we were afraid of many things, where we forgot that you are great and you are above all. Forgive us, God, for all that we have done. Help us to look unto you, to be thankful, as you said, in all circumstances. Give thanks. You said all things work together for good to those who love you and be called according to your plans and purpose. May your name be exalted forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.